boca.
You're listening to White Wednesday, exclusively on the TKR Live Broadcasting Network.
What some experts claim to be a Bigfoot scream. It is regarded as the highest quality audio of the creature ever captured.
The image of the dead ends in my mind. Policemen swear to God, but saving from the guns. I know my friends and I would probably turn to stone.
Ukrainian military field camp that was abandoned when the troops here retreated or deserted. Many of them are believed to be in civilian clothing, judging by all the military uniforms that have been left behind. As you can see, the vast majority of tents are still standing. They stretch way into the distance. Several have been burned, but again, they're filled with personal belongings and personal items, which says that the camp was abandoned in desperation and in chaos. We have been told by Russian troops here that the contingent that was stationed here, again 3,000 to 4,000 troops, that they were abandoned by their leadership, which gave them no orders, and the troops here were left to their own devices.
Now, we all know in the Pfizer trial that was published in the medical literature that more people died who got the vaccine than who got the placebo. In other words, the vaccine killed more people than the placebo did. Now, it's not supposed to work that way for a vaccine, right? Vaccines are supposed to save lives. But in fact, in the clinical trial, more people died who got the drug than who didn't get the drug. And the reason is because that the clinical trial showed that you could save one life for every 22,000 people who got the drug from COVID. However, more people died who got the drug because they died from different reasons. They died from the vaccine. But see, everybody is focused on how many lives we can save from COVID, and they're not focused on how many deaths were caused by the vaccine. So I did a calculation. Well, it turns out that when you save one person for every 22,000 people you inject, it means we could have saved, that the vaccines have saved 10,000 lives over the course of a year. 10,000 lives. Now, 3 million people die every year. You just saved 10,000 lives. Congratulations. That's rounding error. We turned this country upside down to save just 10,000 lives. But we actually didn't save 10,000 lives. Because when you look at the VAERS numbers, and you look at it 12 different ways that didn't even use VAERS, you come up with at least 150,000 people who have been killed by the vaccine. There's no other explanation. So you killed 150,000 in order to maybe save 10,000 lives. And that's if the actual variant matched the vaccine, which it doesn't. So in other words, and for kids, by the way, the risk-benefit is even worse. We kill 117 kids to save one life. Because everybody is focused, laser focused, on how many lives can we save from COVID. And they're not focused on how many people actually die from the vaccine. Because it's all covered up. Because the doctors aren't allowed to talk about it. Because they will lose their license or they will be fired if they talk about it.
It's going to go up. Can't do much right now. Russia is responsible.
Because democracy basically means government by the people, of the people, for the people. But the people are retarded. So let us say, government by the retarded, for the retarded, of the retarded.
The three congressmen you have here, two of them look like they really did play ball, and the other one looks like he could bomb you.
Reliance on a single foreign supplier can leave a nation vulnerable to extortion and intimidation. That is why we congratulate European states such as Poland for leading the construction of a Baltic pipeline so that nations are not dependent on Russia to meet their energy needs. Germany will become totally dependent on Russian energy if it does not immediately change course. Here in the Western Hemisphere, we are committed to maintaining our independence from the encroachment of expansionist foreign powers.
America's going to be majority-minority by 2042, and the country's going to be minority-white. And that means America's going to be a lot different than it is now. It's going to look a lot more like Los Angeles and Miami, and it's going to look a lot more like New York. And you're telling me that even though America is going to dramatically change in that period of time, because the people will have changed and the different people will create a different country, it's still going to be America? How's that? As long as they're citizens, as long as they're speaking English when they buy their Netflix subscription? That's too inclusive. That's too inclusive. We're not for inclusivity. We've had enough inclusivity.
And do you support a no-fly zone in Ukraine?
I support everything that has to do with punishing Vladimir Putin and helping the Ukrainians.
Wouldn't that mean direct conventional warfare with Russia?
I don't know what it will mean, but you know, freedom is not free.
So you don't know what a no-fly zone will mean? You have to shoot down Russian planes, I mean.
Of course!
So conventional war with Russia.
Listen, thank you.
Hi.
You know, the Anglo, this founding stock of America, screw them. They're dying 75,000 a year to opioids. But, you know, well, here we have some person in Guatemala who matters more. We're going to tailor our policy towards them. So I'm glad to hear you say that.
And the vast majority of Democrats that are making that argument are elite whites.
We're now at a former Ukrainian military base where there wasn't much of a fight. The troops here abandoned their posts. They either retreated or left to mingle with the civilian population. Nevertheless, they left behind a huge quantity of tanks. These are T-64 tanks, as well as all sorts of trucks, vehicles, tow trucks, cars, armored personnel carriers. All sorts of equipment over there. There's an arsenal behind behind the tires you may see in the distance. Again, firearms, rocket-propelled grenades, ammunition, vast quantities, all of this was left behind.
Hostile and fast sides of me. Sing a shining for this from 9 and 9 special balloons. Even big some hope with some thanks to feel like.
Can't do it. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We sure will.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it live. Mm-hmm. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Five, four, three.
We're here live. We're apparently on the brink of nuclear war. But yeah. Hey, I'm all for it, man. You know. I don't see the downside. What's up, hate farmer?
What it is. Oh, come on, you filthy goyim. Yeah. I'm tired of waiting for that meteorite.
Yeah.
It's time for the these filthy bipeds to take care of the job the cosmos will do for us.
I see all these people on social media worrying about oh my God, if nuclear war happens, we're all going to die. And I'm like, dude, you're going to die anyway. Nuclear war is one of the better ways to go. Have you not watched people die of old age?
Right.
But I mean,
how many post-apocalyptic action movies are there of people, like geriatric people, just like dying slowly of neglect in a nursing home? Yeah. And how many people have you seen like raging through the wasteland that used to be a city in like awesome Mad Max vehicles?
Yeah,
that's the way I want to go out.
Sure, sure. Or even just, I mean, if you happen to be in the blast zone, it's over quick.
Yeah,
you know, you don't have a bunch of nurses poking and prodding at you and black porters and nurses aides abusing you because you're a racist old white person, you know, as you wither away to a 60-pound thing from whatever kind of cancer or other disease that you've been given due to the modern diet and medicine and all that stuff. And we got Ace here too, I believe.
Yeah, I'm totally okay with nuclear war. Literally, the only condition I have is that we get Fallout-style power armor to roam the wasteland with. Oh, as long as we get power armor out of this, you know, bring on the nuclear war.
Yeah, let me address someone in the chat. Glowing radioactive waste asks, "Can anyone hear me?" No, you're chatting in text. No one can hear you. we can read you though.
In the chat bar, no one can hear you, Spurg.
That's right. They can only read it. but welcome aboard, glowing radioactive waste. Only 55 currently listening. I don't know. Is it punishment? No, I'm not going to punish them yet. Share the link, everybody. Mods, put the link to the show in there and put the link to the Gab post so those who are on Gab can share it as well. Can share the Gab post.
Yeah. Asmodor's fingers on the button right now.
It is.
The Chuck Berry and Yoko Ono.
Yeah, yeah. I should play it just because I got a comment from somebody like a week ago saying, don't do that anymore. Of course, it was only in my notifications. I guess they thought better of it and deleted it. But what people don't know is, If you post a, of course you can weaponize this too, but if you post a comment in the chat and then you delete it, it's still in my notifications, right? So like, I guess if you wanted to threaten to rape me or something like that, you could post that and delete it and you wouldn't have the other commenters swarm you. But, anyway, did you hear that, right there at the during the intro, that silly front hole with the weird accent talking about how she supports the no-fly zone? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's show her, because that's not just some random front hole. For some reason, which I cannot fathom. Oh, come on. There we go. The people of whatever district she's in Florida elected her, and I think she's a Republican, and she's a Cuban. But let's show her. I just want to let everybody see the face of this sort of idiocy. Let's get this up on the screen. There we go. All right.
And do you support a no-fly zone in Ukraine?
I support everything that has to do with punishing Vladimir Putin and helping the Ukrainians.
Wouldn't that mean direct conventional warfare with Russia?
I don't know what it will mean, but you know, freedom is not free.
So you don't know what a no-fly zone will mean? If you have to shoot down Russian planes, I mean...
Of course!
So conventional war with Russia
is trying to display a picture brought our entire operation.
And do you support a no-fly zone in Ukraine?
I support.
Oh, my bad.
Is it finished yet for you guys?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. And... You know what? If there's one thing I'm fucking sick of hearing especially from her type, is that freedom's not free. These motherfuckers got on a boat and rowed, you know, a couple of miles from Cuba to Florida, and they got freedom absolutely for fucking free. And they get elected to Congress, and they take a bunch of Zog money, a bunch of Soros money, and a bunch of other such bullshit, a bunch of AIPAC money, and they justify doing whatever the will of the military-industrial complex and the whole Middle East slash Eastern European nonsense that Israel is always spinning its webs around, and they tell us it's our fucking like we're not patriotic, you know. Freedom's not free if we don't go over there and arm up these Ukrainians, then even be willing to have a no-fly zone and shoot down Russian planes, which means if we go over there and shoot down Russian planes, there's two outcomes of that. The Russians retaliate, and then because we are afraid of a full-on conventional war that could go nuclear, we tuck our tail between our legs and run, which, you know, what a great look, right? Or we go full-on battle mode with a country that for decades has been building up its military specifically to be able to fight peer-to-peer conflicts, while ours has been has totally given up on that entire concept. And I was just wondering what the hell that noise. It's a heater in the other room. I'll have to go turn it off in a second. All right, anyway, that has totally abandoned that concept and has built a military to fight savages in sandboxes, and even on top of that, this has completely depleted itself in doing so, and that has not been a military based from the bottom to the top, has not been based on merit, which, you know, the military says, oh, you know, the military cares about nothing but who's the best and who's the toughest and who's the smartest, and all bullshit. The military cares about who's got the most melanin and, you know, who's got a vagina and who's doing the most dilating and who's doing the most man-on-man anal and all. This is the stuff that gets you promoted in the military now. And it's that bad now, but it's been almost that bad for decades. You know, there's been racial affirmative action and sexual affirmative action, and the worst kind, there's been political affirmative action. Our military, our high command, you know, the Joint Chiefs of Staff and all the higher up officer corps and everything, has been nothing but political forever, right, Hate Farmer? And I'm, yeah, while you explain this, I'm going to turn that damn heater off.
Yeah, and particularly since the end of the Cold War, you know, America thought that it could use its clout, and its by virtue of the fact the Soviet Union had collapsed, we thought that we were, you know, we'd reached the end of history. And so the military just became sort of like a cash drawer for the military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
And all of our weapon systems and all of our training, like you said, for the last 20-plus years has been geared towards fighting people without an adequate integrated air defense system and, you know, antique weapons, legacy weapons from the Soviet Union. So, I mean, like, you know, I mean, we have these fighter systems and these weapon systems that aren't really designed to, they're designed to fight the last war. They're designed to fight the Soviet Union, only the Soviet Union wasn't around anymore, so they weren't really taken seriously. Like, well, we have things like the Littoral Combat Ship. We've got the F-35. We've got all these really complex sort of, well, anyway, you're back. Yeah. It's crazy because, you know, I'm sure we could hit the Russians, you know, two or three good blows. But once that's over, our aircraft will be unserviceable. And they need to be shipped back to the factories. And about all we have left is basically cruise missiles.
Yeah.
Which we have a lot of, but I mean, you know, and here's the thing too, is that, you know, we've lately been accusing Putin of being like this madman. Something's changed. He's still just as rational as he's ever been. And he's probably correctly assessed America as not being a serious country. Our leadership is, you know, full of, like, I don't even know how to describe these people, just like infants, basically.
Yeah.
Who just scream and throw fits. And
Well, what else can they do
for the things that they're advocating for? What else can they do? They can't, whether you're talking any of their domestic policies, any of their social policies, or any of their foreign policy, anybody who brings up any question about this to them, and all they can do is shout them down with baby shit, because there is no discussion of it. Because if you have a discussion of it, none of it makes any sense.
Yeah. And we used to have, maybe, you know, it came and went is depending on the era, but we used to have, like, you know, military leaders with backbones of, like, wrought iron. And they were prepared to stand up to the political class and say, like, you know, this just can't be done. But yeah, now we have, like, just generals now that, I mean, who's this guy? Not McGregor. Who's the other one? The one that's saying that.
Milley.
And there's another one. I can't remember these clowns' names. But, you know, they're part of, like, the revolving door in the industrial complex. You know, they retire. They become, like, they get a sinecure at the board of, like, Raytheon or Northrop Grumman or something like that. And then they also moonlight as experts on CNN and MSNBC.
Oh, and they get massive – they go and give speeches at events and get massive fees. You know, that was
– yeah.
People never noticed this thing until Clinton started doing it. You know, both the Clintons did it. When Bill Clinton left office, all of a sudden the mainstream media noticed, or at least like the Fox News type media noticed that, hey, what is this? This guy is going and speaking at events for people whose companies or organizations or whatever he spearheaded laws and policies to benefit them. And he goes and gives a 1-hour speech and they pay him $3 million. And Hillary did the same thing, of course. All these people do this shit. They go on a speaking circuit. They get jobs at universities and get paid ungodly amounts. And like you said, they go to work for Raytheon. Like our current, Secretary of Defense, that's where he came from, was Raytheon. And it makes you wonder what good, you know, how confident can Raytheon possibly be, because he is a literal retard field Sambo.
That's democracy. It's for and by and of the retards.
Of the retarded, yes. Yeah, a government of, by, and for the people, except the people are retarded. And, you know, this is an interesting thing. It's one of the things that's really, really good, or why it's really, really good to know, like, the history of the founding of the country and everything. Because, you know, like, the Constitution, when they had the Constitutional Convention, it was a big okey-doke on most of the delegates, because they all thought that they were coming there to revise the Articles of Confederation, right? And they were like, no, we've got this whole Constitution written up. And I can't remember which one of them it was. It may have been Madison. It may have been Madison. But when they saw the big "We the People" on there, that scared him, that, like, they were trying to form a democracy. And he stood up and said, and, you know, it's a speech of record. You can go look it up. And he says, "Who authorized this language of 'we the people'?" You know, he said it should be "we the states," not "we the people." And he went into a long diatribe about it, because, you know, everybody's always known that the people are retarded. And it's always been that way. And for the longest period of time, our republic was, of course, it had democratic institutions, which I'm for. You know, the original democratic institutions that I had, where you limit who votes and all that stuff. But to people who are A, white men, and B, have a stake in what's going on, other than getting the government to pay them something. And for the longest,
and of good character, which would disqualify,
like, the entire Congress, yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone in the executive branch and everyone in the judicial branch, except maybe Clarence Thomas, and who, of course, would not be qualified to vote. But anyway, You know, the Civil War was one of those things that really changed that. That mullah or whatever he was that was talking about government of the retarded by the retarded, he's quoting Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address with that, right? And Republican government got turned on it. When I say Republican, of course I don't mean the Republican Party, but that a Republican form of government really got turned on its head among just about every other founding principle of the country, when Lincoln started pushing this one nation doctrine. And he, you know, he said that in that speech too, the big one nation thing. And it eventually got encoded into our Pledge of Allegiance and everything, but this was never supposed to be one nation. Each one of the states were exactly what they were supposed to be, states. It's one of the weirdest things that, it's so accepted that this is one big nation, that we have to, if you're in Texas, you have to be subject to the dictates of the people in California if they outvote you, or you have, you know, and so forth. The original, the Constitution set up a confederacy, and the Declaration, which was encoded into the Constitution, basically enshrined the right to self-determination. And the Civil War threw all that aside. No more self-determination. Oh, you sovereign states don't want to be part of our thing up here. You don't want to pay for us anymore. Well, sorry, you can't do that. You're stuck. And that's what they're telling. The reason I guess I'm bringing this up, or at least what makes it relevant, is that that's this big idea everybody's got. That's what's going on over there in Ukraine right now, as far as what Russia and the people of the Donbass region, the people of the Crimea already did and everything. Oh, that's totally wrong. We have to completely go to war to stop this. It's because, oh, yeah, the people of the Donbass region, self-determination, fuck them. Fuck them. Self-determination is unpatriotic. What kind of horrible person are you to think that you should have government that represents your interests, that makes your life better, rather than be ruled over by some distant hive of Jews?
Well, they've been doing this for a long time, just like how the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, you know, it means different things depending on the context.
Yeah.
You know, and you're either like pro-war or anti-war depending on. Yeah. So they always have these two concepts. One is national integrity, and the other one is like national cohesion or something like that. You know, like when we invaded Iraq, there were lots of people were talking about splitting up the nation, which would make sense because a lot of the sort of social strife that existed in that country was because of the Sykes-Picot Accord. You know, the Brits just taking a Sharpie on a map and saying, oh, what are two like neighboring peoples that hate each other? Well, guess what? You're one nation now. And so at that time, it was national integrity. They wanted to preserve the borders. But then at other times, like, say, Kosovo or Timor or some other, you know, breakaway republic, suddenly it becomes, oh, it's about cultural cohesion or something like that. And so just depending on the circumstance, it's either we got to keep this border around these people to keep these people like at each other's throats indefinitely, or, you know, it's in our national interests and it's democracy if we want to fund these rebels to, you know, wage war, foment a civil war and support them and recognize them. Like Sudan's another one. Yeah. I mean, it just, examples abound. You know, like when we broke away Panama from Colombia, you know, it's because we wanted to have our own little satrapy there that we could control. And anyway,
well,
it's all just so much hypocrisy.
Yeah, I mean, there is some hypocrisy there, but I wish we had held on to a little bit of that hypocrisy, because what the fuck are we doing giving away the Panama Canal?
Oh, we still own it.
No, we don't. We gave it away back. We gave it back to the Panamanians back in the 90s. And that, now
no,
the Chinese
we invaded the Panama to get rid of Noriega because he was interested in nationalizing it. No. And now we own it.
That's not true. That is not true. We invaded Panama because Noriega had all these billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars in drug money in his banks, and he nationalized his banks, and the Bush family was afraid they'd go broke.
Well, yeah, I suppose it's part of it.
Bill Clinton.
We still own
Panama,
all but name.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Panama is might as well be Puerto Rico.
Well,
I mean, it's true that, you know, they have their own flag and nominally they're an independent.
We don't run that canal now the way we did before. We had complete control of that canal. We had our military and civilian contractors ran the canal officially, and it's not that way now. Hasn't mm-hmm. been for a long time.
Well, the guy, I can't remember his name, the guy who preceded Noriega, the one that we assassinated, you know, these small planes have a very high failure rate. And Noriega carried on. We were planning on, or they were planning on letting the Japanese renovate it and build it up. And it would have been a joint Panamanian-Japanese venture instead of, like, an American venture. So, I don't know.
My point is, if we're going to go into these foreign expeditionary adventures, there should be two things that we do different. We should, A, not allow the people that live there to come here, and B, we should strip mine them of all their resources, and if they have anything of value, we should keep it forever.
Right.
I mean,
at least you get something out of it, right?
Well, I mean, if you're going to be an empire, do it right. You know, I'm against being an empire. It's not good for us. It becoming an empire always ruins a republic. There are many, many examples of that, the most obvious and overused one being Rome, of course. But the I don't know, this whole thing, this whole rush to get in this war, and the signals they're sending are so weird because, you know, Poland had these upgraded MiGs that are, you know, just as good as the MiGs that Russia has now. And the Polish war minister, or whatever they call him, had told Poland that he was on his, or not Poland, to Ukraine. He was on his way there, on his way to Kiev. I refuse to call it Kiev. Kiev sounds like something that grows on the bottom of your dick. But anyway, I...
Or that space in between your testicles and your anus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway... that he was going to make a deal with them where they could like bust their pilots over to Poland and fly those MiGs out. And the United, I can't remember exactly. It was one of the undersecretaries of defense and they sent him over there and he's like, no, this is absolutely not happening. This will be, you know, extreme provocation by NATO. It'll blow the thing up. And then now, you've got bug-eyed Jewish Secretary of Defense Anthony Blinken going on the Sunday morning talk shows and saying that, well, yeah, okay, we're going to do that now. And the thing is, we've got to help Poland out. We're figuring out, like, how to backfill. We're not going to get directly involved, but we're going to backfill their planes and resources and so forth so that they'll be able to defend themselves even if they get stuff away, which is all a bunch of doublespeak for... we're going to give them better planes for free for them to give these MiGs to these Ukrainians to go bomb these people. And you think Russia doesn't understand what this is? I mean, you might be fooling the retarded people, but you're not fooling Putin and his generals and all.
No, this is just another. This is another example of them provoking the Russians, and then, like, you know, we get to stand back and clutch our pearls. Like, why are they attacking us? We didn't actually attack them. It's like, you know, we provide the provocation, and then when they respond, like, I think Morgoth calls these people, or the people that fall for it, hatchlings. Yeah. You know, they were literally just born today, and whatever happened preceded these events, like, just isn't real.
Yeah, and the crap that they're telling them from the various press conferences and so forth is the mama puke that mama bird feeds them. Yeah. I'm looking for this graphic. You know, it's interesting to note the type of people who are pro-Ukraine in this thing. And by the way, if you're pro-Ukraine, and I'm not saying I'm anti-Ukraine as far as like the Ukrainian people and stuff, I'm actually pro the Ukrainian people, because the best thing that could happen to them is if this this occupation CIA installed government of Jewish homosexual comedians, which is what most of them are. I saw a list of what Zelensky's top people are. Like, Zelensky is this obviously homo Jewish comedian, and like all of his ministers and stuff are people who were his comedy writers and producers and bookers and all this shit. It's unbelievable. But the best thing that could happen to him would be if Putin gets in there and sicks all of his mean tabby cats on those rats in Kiev, right? And roots them out of there. And they're able to have some kind of an election that is overseen by enough different international observers that it's an actual election. And get some Ukrainians in there and be like, okay, yeah, we're good with neutrality. Okay, but, you know, and of course you can't trust anything. The mainstream media keeps showing on these polls how 80% of Ukrainian citizens refuse the idea of giving away the Donbass region and of neutrality and not joining NATO and all. Of course, I think that's bullshit, because I've seen reports. Go ahead.
Well, how are you going to get it? I mean, yeah, it's obvious bullshit. But, I mean, how are you going to get accurate polling in a literal war zone?
Well, you just make it up.
Right.
But, I mean, they're so transparent now. I'm not going to look for it at this moment, because I don't want to slow the show down, because we're going to try to keep it down to about 2 hours tonight. It's not a new thing that we're going to start doing. Don't worry. But we're going to try to keep it a little short tonight, because Hate Farmer needs to go, and I have a couple of things I need to attend to. But there was a reporter on CNN, blonde woman, and she's standing in front of the Defense Department headquarters or something, and she's saying that the majority of Americans that they've talked to are all for whatever it takes, you know, whether it's a no-fly zone,
the current
conventional
thing.
War, or whatever, right. And they don't quote a poll. They don't say who they talk to or anything. They just say, yeah, the majority of Americans are for it. Now, yeah, okay, thanks. You know, and we know these polls are bullshit. I've known these polls are bullshit forever. You know, one of the things, and there's been one or two actual, not like really reputable polls, but like actual polling companies that have done polls and claim, you know, all these Americans are for a no-fly zone. Well, that's because they don't word it right. If you were going to word this poll accurately, you wouldn't say, are you for a what they call a non-kinetic no-fly zone? Well, non-kinetic no-fly zone. Okay, what the fuck does that even mean? Oh, well, we're going to jam the air with a bunch of electrons. We're not going to actually fight them with planes or anything, but we're going to jam the air with a whole bunch of electronic garbage in hopes that they won't be able to fly their planes. But of course, that's not what they're even talking about now. They're talking about sending the Polish planes in there and such. But are you for a non-kinetic no-fly zone? And people say yes, because they didn't ask the question correctly. The correct question would be, are you for a conventional war where we will most likely get our ass handed to us, and if we don't, it could most likely lead to a nuclear conflict? Right. You're going to get a different answer to that question, you know. But
that doesn't sound right. When I hear no fly zone, we just tell Russia to no fly zone.
Yeah, don't fly here.
No,
we call dibs on this.
Right. We instruct the air traffic controllers in Ukraine to tell the Russians to stop flying their planes.
Yeah.
And if they don't, sanctions. But oh,
these sanctions, man. Gas.
What are the Russians going to do without their Pornhub, their Facebook, their Netflix, their sports ball? What are they going to do without the exported American culture?
Yeah, without Apple and McDonald's, they're going to fall completely apart. I wish that somehow I could get those sanctions on the United States.
Right.
Just shut down. Just shut down fucking McDonald's and Apple and Pornhub and, you know, all that shit. Just shut it down. Just flip a switch and shut it down. Because, you know.
Well, that's how you really stir the jimmies of the cat ladies. Because the Russians got banned from, like, the international, you know, feline pageantry thing.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah. Yeah, they got banned from whatever the version of
Kennel Club or
Kennel Club dog shows, right? American Kennel Club dog shows. They got banned from the international version of that for cats. And so, you know, how is Russia going to recover? I mean, the what are the fucking cats going to do? Oh, I got something to show you, Hate Farmer. This is off topic, but I know this is going to rustle your jimmies a little bit, and I know people, the listeners, will enjoy hearing Hate Farmer get his jimmies rustled over this particular thing.
Let me take a sip of my Zevia, my grape drink.
Oh, there you go. Oh, Zevia is good stuff, man. If you're going to drink soda, mm-hmm. that's the stuff to drink. Zevia is 100% pure. It doesn't have any artificial additives. It's sweetened with stevia. And if you don't believe me, buy a can and pour it into a glass. It doesn't matter if it's the cola or the fake Dr. Pepper or the grape soda or whatever, it's clear. They don't even put colors in it. But yeah, I used to drink it all the time. I can't afford it now. But goddamn Russians and their gas prices. I can't even afford Zevia. Okay, Hate Farmer, here it comes. I don't know if you can read what that says. It's from BBC News UK. Irish student finally at safety at Romanian border, Ukraine.
What a fine bunny lass. Yeah.
You know, I always heard this about the Irish, but I never knew how true it was. I always heard they weren't white. Oh. No, how does that make you feel as a 50% Blarney Stone kissing Mick?
Well, thank God my country lady is safe, you know. Yeah. The Irish diaspora, you know, they're more Irish outside of Ireland than in Ireland, so, you know, at least they're getting taken care of.
Yeah.
God bless the BBC.
Yeah. Well,
yes. They've been doing that shit for a long time. A long time.
Yeah.
You know, they'll always find like the two or three like dark as a thousand midnights Africans who like, you know, somehow were born there, and so they got the Irish lilt and everything.
Yeah.
And it's always the same three or four blacks that they have on Irish television talking about like Irish culture and what it means to be Irish. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's a tip for you. Hey, Farmer, Online Storage says he just bought a 24-pack of Zevia on Amazon for $12.
Hmm. Well, yeah. I don't know what this went for. Lamote does all the shopping.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I used to
get... But you're right, it is... I just had the root beer with dinner, and yeah, it's perfectly clear. My kids kind of like looked at it. They're like, you said this is root beer, Dad. Like, it is.
Yeah. Well, just give it to them in a cold can. Don't pour it in a glass for them. They won't know the difference. But yeah, it's good. And stevia is what I sweeten everything with. I'm a completely zero sugar person. If a thing has sugar in it, I don't eat it. But like, I make coffee and I put stevia in it, you know. I refuse to drink the corn syrup. I will not drink the corn syrup. I will not take the jab. I will not drive your gay ass electric vehicle. Fuck you.
You're gonna draw the ire of the blue helmets.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm ready for them. You should see my Tesla coils. They're bigger than fuck. Oh, the blue helmets. Yeah, yeah. The blue helmets who rape children, by the way. Remember that scandal? They literally are the Antichrist. There was a bunch of French blue helmets were in the Middle East were coercing children as young as 9. And they were gay. You had to read deep into the story. It was boys mostly. They were forcing children as young as 9 to give them oral sex before they would give them food. in some war-torn zone where they were hungry and stuff. And it got reported to the United Nations peacekeeping forces, and they passed it off to whoever runs the French contingent of it. And they farted around and waited a couple of years before they did any kind of investigation, and nobody got punished. But yeah, the UN shouldn't exist. If it's going to exist, we should leave it. I don't like it being in New York City. Of course, I don't like New York City being in my country. But but so anyway, what do you think? You know, you're a world class critical thinker, and you understand all this geopolitical and military stuff, A. Farmer. What do you see? I'm not asking you to predict what the Biden administration is going to do or whatever, but what do you see coming out of this if they actually send, if we start supplying Poland with planes so that they can give the planes they've already got to Ukraine and they start attacking Russians with it?
Well, I don't want to say they won't, because I was wrong about Russia invading the Ukraine, but it'll just be another escalation. I don't think... And then the Russians will respond. They'll do something against Poland. You know, Poland, like the rest of Europe, is highly dependent on Russian exports and Russian energy. There's lots of things they can do when it comes to cyber warfare. I think it's just going to be another case of we provoke, continue to poke the bear. And then when the bear responds, it's, you know, unprovoked. Like, why are they doing this?
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, the media has a... just an ironclad grip on the minds and ways of thinking of most Western citizens. So
yeah, well, my take on it, and it does, you know, it's not the same as yours, and you're answering what I asked you, but my take on it is what's going to happen from a more meta standpoint is if we start doing this shit, and every escalation that happens is one step closer to the West, the United States, Europe, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, all that, losing any influence it has at all in world affairs. And we're getting there already. The United States is already there. You know, Biden reached out to the king or whatever he calls himself of Saudi Arabia and said that Biden personally wanted to meet with him and talk about Saudi Arabia helping backfill our oil supply, since we alone are going to refuse to buy Russian oil and gas now. And it wasn't that the Saudi Arabian king said, no, I'm not going to do that. He refused to talk to him.
No.
I mean, if we're going to be this big strung out all over the world thing, and we're going to continue on this model of, you know, oh, well, we've got to control all the energy, and we've got to have these, we've got to have the respect of all these litter box warlords and so forth, so that, you know, we can turn off a tap over here and turn up a tap over there and everything. This should scare the shit out of people, because, you know, unfortunately, what's not going to happen is nuclear war. But what is going to happen is something that's going to make the Great Depression look like a time of peace and plenty.
Yeah, and that could lead to a drastic restructuring of the world order. You know, one of the reasons, like, after the fact, ex post facto rationale for having this really highly integrated global commerce gay utopia that we have is that They would say that this makes conflict less likely because we're so interdependent. Well, conflict is inevitable. And when it does happen, what's going to happen is it just makes all of our industries, all of our economies, and everything fall apart, because we've just got these tightly interwoven and interdependent trade. Oh, my God. The kid just busted like a 40-second rip.
Oh, good for it. Tell him congratulations.
Good on you, boy. That was impressive.
When he gets old enough to play with matches.
I pull my headphones away from my ear. I'm like, what the hell is that? Oh.
When he gets old enough to play with matches or lighters, show him how to light them. it'll be a father-son moment he'll never forget.
So, yeah, and for decades now, this has been the soft power that the United States and the gay American empire uses. Yeah. It's the petrodollar. It's the control over other countries' commerce. You know, if we embargo a country, that means that all the countries that are dependent on us for our money, for our trade, they have to follow suit. Otherwise, they'd lose access to markets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, Russia is kind of been under sanctions for a long time now, but we've taken a really big bite out of their industry. You know, it's fertilizer, it's everything from Pornhub to fuel. And I guess there's some like spotty things here because the Germans still need Russian fuel, liquid natural gas, which is still flowing through the Ukraine, by the way.
Yeah.
The Nord Stream 2 has been put on hold, but there's the existing pipeline that goes through Ukraine. But yeah, I mean, all what we may do is find these other countries looking elsewhere for markets and for resources.
Yeah.
You know, and if they can do business with China and Russia, then that just makes them stronger, and may have just shot ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I played that clip of Trump at the beginning. No matter what else you may think of Trump, and look, I have a lot of problems with the way Trump ran his first term. I say his first term because he's obviously going to be running in 2024. Well, I mean, he's basically announced it at CPAC. And I support him over all contenders to be president again. And I think he would do better. I think Sheldon Adelson's dead and Jared and Ivanka are on the shit pile. So, you know, maybe maybe it'll be a little better. But it was worth electing him, and would have been worth electing him for two terms just for the one thing that he did that was amazing, that the Americans have been screaming that we should have done forever. You know, when I was a kid, my family was deep involved in the oil industry. They didn't drill oil, but they were contractors for oil companies. You know, they cut roads to locations and things like that. And they knew the deal, but everybody everywhere knew the deal, at least where I lived, all these Texans, everybody working for the oil companies. And when things started slowing down, they were all screaming, wait, you're telling me that we're going to get all of our oil from the Middle East now and everything's getting shut down here? What the fuck? This isn't going to be good. We should be self-sufficient. And the founding fathers said that too, that we should be, that in everything we should be self-sufficient. We should. And Trump made us completely energy self-sufficient. We were drilling. We were pulling that oil up out of the ground. We were pulling that natural gas up out of the ground. The prices were as low as they often were in the 80s and 90s. There were times you could go and get a gallon of gas, at least where I lived, for $1.30, $1.40 a gallon. And now we have the highest gasoline prices in the world. And let me tell you something. Higher prices on every fucking thing there is downstream of this, right? And not far downstream. I mean, like a few days downstream. You know, right. this isn't because the 1930s where, you know, the price of coal or diesel fuel or whatever they were running the trains with goes up, and then a month later, the price on the stuff they're delivering goes up. No, everything is done by trucks, as it should be. Everything is delivered by trucks. And they fill them trucks up every day or so if they're out there driving them on the road, you know, long haul over the road. And when the price of diesel fuel goes up 80 cents in one fucking day, you think the price of your Oscar Mayer bologna that you're reduced to eating instead of steak already is not going to go up? You think every single fucking thing there is in any store anywhere gets delivered by a truck.
Yeah, and we don't even have to wait for like the downstream effect. You know, like I don't know how long it takes for oil to be transferred from Saudi Arabia to the United States or whatever. But the thing is, we've got this this casino called Wall Street where commodity prices are changing like minute to minute. So they respond to global events, and it's not just you know, it doesn't have to be an actual shortage, or there doesn't have to be an interruption in the supply line.
Oh, no, they love it when it happens. If they see that the price of gas is going to go up next week, they raise the price on commodities right now. Yeah. And they get that extra profit before the extra cost of gas even kicks in. And here's the worst part. Once this shit happens, even if you manage to get things back to normal, if somehow you manage to bring the price of gas back down or whatever, do you think those fucking stores bring the prices on their shit back down? They do not. Mm-mm. When, you know, if a loaf of bread goes from 89 cents to $1.50 because gas went from 250 to 350, when gas goes back down to 250, you're stuck with the $2.50 loaf of bread, or $1.50, whatever I said, loaf of bread. I've seen this before. And this, what they're doing with the gas should scare the shit out of you. I know that the guys here on the wrecking crew with me are too young to remember this. They probably weren't born for it. And the people in the chat, the vast majority, if not all of them, are too young to remember this. I think there might be one or two people in the chat who are as old as me. God bless you. They had two of them in the 70s, real gas crises, I guess I should say. The first one happened, in the mid-70s, 74, 75, something like that. And there was a gas shortage. And the price started going up really high. And I will never forget, it was like the only time in my life we ever went on a family vacation. We went to Arlington by Dallas to go to Six Flags Over Texas. And while we were there, we got a motel and stayed and went to a Texas Rangers game the next day. It was fun. You know, I was 8 or 9 years old, something like that. My sister was 3 or 4. And my dad had already made what he credits as a horrible decision. He had sold the 1969 GTO Judge that he bought brand new because they had told everybody that there would not be enough gas forever. And he was worried, you know, that was our one and only family car. And he sold it and he replaced it with a Volkswagen Bug, which, you know, coming down from the GTO, it was kind of a hard deal because, like, when my dad had that GTO and I was like 7 or 8 years old, I could fuck with my friends and say, hi, yeah, look, my dad drives this badass race car. Your dad drives a fucking Valiant. Your dad drives a granny car. Your dad's a F word. And it's, suddenly there was a Bug. But the Bug was cool. You know, they were cute and everything. But they traded it off real quick and they had just come out with the Volkswagen Rabbit, right? The early 70s or mid 70s Volkswagen Rabbit. And they got one of those because it got such high gas. Huh?
Those are pretty cool.
Yeah, they weren't. Not to me, they weren't, right? They weren't GTO cool. Yeah. But anyway. But I mean, you know, I didn't really care that much. But the thing was, it got really high gas mileage. And the thing was, it actually was a good utilitarian decision that he made at that time. And, you know, he was one guy working as head of the house, and mom was a stay-at-home mom and everything. He couldn't afford to keep the GTO and go buy a new car, right? And so we had this little Rabbit, and that night after the Rangers game, we were coming home. We weren't going back to a hotel, and we had to find gas. And it was low on gas, and we started driving and driving and driving all over Arlington looking for gas. And all the gas stations had signs up saying, no gas, no gas, no gas. And finally, we found an Exxon station that had gas, and we had to get in line. And we were in that line for hours. It went way up the damn street. And when we got up to it, it said, you can only buy 5 gallons of gas. And that did not mean that you could only buy 5 gallons or less, which is bad enough. It meant you're either buying 5 gallons of gas or you're not getting any gas. And they had people from inside the store out there being like, hey, you understand, right? You're buying 5 gallons of gas if you pull up to this thing. And so we buy 5 gallons of gas and we got to drive over 100 miles back home. And this is the kind of thing that was going on. And then the second one was the Arab oil embargo, and which shows what a bad position you're in when you're dependent on a specific region, or, you know, regions outside your own country anyway, for your energy. Every day you get out in the car and get driven to school and the price of gas had gone up 10 cents. It had gone up 20 cents every freaking day. People were so upset about it, they were wasting gas, driving all over town trying to find the place that had it for a penny or two less.
Yeah.
And this is all coming. This is all coming. And it doesn't have to come. This is all coming because the first thing that this ice cream boofing, senile, child molesting retard that we have allowed to steal this election, that we are allowing to occupy the White House, and the core of anti-American, communist, homosexuals, and anti-whites, and everything else that they've got in there, all these extreme leftists, they got him to sign among this record number of executive orders on the first day. They shut down domestic fucking production, and they're lying about it. Jen Psaki is up there lying her ass off about it at every press conference. And nobody in the media is pressing her on it. Not even the worthless Ducey. Ducey tried today, and he doesn't even know the questions to ask. He kept asking, you know, Psaki is claiming, wow, there's 9,000 permits that are out there to allow companies to drill, and these are private oil companies, and they won't drill. And, I mean, you want a free market, right? We can't force them to do it. Well, the question is there any fucking oil under these permits? Because if there is, I guarantee you, if they're permitted to just go in there and drill, Exxon and Shell and all these people are going to be in there drilling. Especially with the price of gas being as high as it is, the price of crude oil being as high as it is. But somehow there's 9,000 leases that the Department of Energy has approved and nobody's drilling on them. And they blame it on it. And all this other shit, it's all because of Russia. And we're the only fucking country that's not going to buy crude oil and natural gas from Russia. The only one. All these fucking allies that we have that are raising all this hell for us to go over there and defend Ukraine from Russia, they're buying the oil, they're buying the gas, and they openly say they're not going to stop. And you can't blame them. Germany doesn't want to go dark. They fucked up and got themselves completely tied into this. You know, we heard, let me play it again. Because I want to play this with context. And then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and just real quick talk about one or two things and take a couple of calls, because we're already nearly an hour and a half into our 2 hours allotted. But let me give some context on this. I think this is either at the United Nations or the European Union, and they were having a big meeting. And as Trump, I wish I had the video of this available at my hands, like a link to a Twitter or something, but I don't. But Trump is giving a speech at it. This is 2018. And he's warning them about their opposition to this Baltic pipeline that they wanted to build so that they could get, that he wanted them to build so that they could get gas and oil from other sources other than just Russia. And these smarmy Jewish-looking guys on the German delegation, they keep flashing to them and they're laughing their ass off. Well, they're not laughing anymore. These krauts, they used to laugh at it. They thought it was a joke. They're not laughing anymore. Now they understand the gravity of the situation. But here it is. I'll shut up.
Reliance on a single foreign supplier can leave a nation vulnerable to extortion and intimidation. That is why we congratulate European states such as Poland for leading the construction of a Baltic pipeline so that nations are not dependent on Russia to meet their energy needs. Germany will become totally dependent on Russian energy if it does not immediately change course. Here in the Western Hemisphere, we are committed to maintaining our independence from the encroachment of expansionist foreign powers.
I mean, how many times does he have to be proven right about this? And it's not just him. It's not like that was his original idea. You know, this is a thing that anyone who understands anything has known forever, that if the lights get turned off in this modern world that we live in, you're fucked. Your country is fucked, right? Chaos ensues. And it's been that way for the longest. You know, the New York blackout in the 70s is a great example. The lights got shut out for a few hours after dark. Something went wrong at the power company, and the lights went out, and the blacks looted the whole city.
Yeah, wasn't that Summer of Sam?
It may have been the same summer. It may have been the same summer. But, I mean, there's really, really gripping documentaries on it on YouTube that are nothing but all the local news from that night and the following days, you know, strung together. And I remember that. I remember seeing that. But, you know, being in a city, I remember the first time I moved to Dallas, there were a couple of times that there were blackouts, and because I was poor, you know, at first I was working for a place that was basically a ripoff of Michael's MJ Designs, and then I was working at the smut shop, and I didn't make a fortune living at either one. I mean, working at either one. And I was living in an apartment that was, like, I was one of the only white people in it. I didn't know that when I moved in, but I found out shortly after. But when the power would go out, I would get my guns out. Like, I'd light a couple of candles and be sitting there with my guns in case they kicked in the door, because I knew it was possible. The things go nuts when the power goes out, even out in the country. One night we had a lightning hit a transformer in our neighborhood, and you know, we were so far from the headquarters of the power company that, you know it's going to take hours for them to get out there, because they don't even know where a transformer got hit. They send somebody in a truck, and they have a little spotlight, and they just start driving real slow and shining their lights up at each transformer until they find it. And I've got dogs that don't like nonsense, and they started going off, and I knew something was up outside, so I got one of these big spotlights like you have on a boat, and I went out and shined it. And it was these local meth head kids who were taking advantage of the power being out, walking around looking for something to steal. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. You want to live till the lights come back on? but shit goes nuts. And not only that, all communication is over when the power goes out. If the power goes out long enough for your phone to run out of juice, and for your radio to run out of batteries and stuff, and you don't have like a big expensive generator that'll run all that stuff that's hooked up to either the natural gas or to a giant tank of propane or something like that, if you're not prepared in other ways, you're fucked. And I mean, like,
well, these are just the sacrifices that we need to make as Americans to protect democracy and to protect America's interests overseas.
Yeah,
Ukrainian sovereignty is just worth all that to us.
Well, the one bit of advice that I would give everybody about this before we go to break, assume, no matter what, that these people are going to make it worse, because they are. This is all being done by design. This isn't being done because these people are incompetent. Joe Biden's not the one making these decisions.
Sure, and they feel comfortable doing it, too, because they're completely isolated from any sort of chaos
that
they create.
Oh,
like
this
German smirking
fucking Stephen
at Trump.
Colbert. Let me find the video of that cocksucker. Yeah. You know the video I'm talking about?
Right. He drives a Tesla.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can charge your Tesla when the fucking grid goes down.
Well, he's not talking about the grid going down. He's talking about a clear conscience is worth a couple of bucks, right? Let me find it. But anyway,
it'd take a little bit more for that guy to have a clear conscience.
Yeah, here it is. Let me.
Since the invasion.
Okay, let me get this on the screen.
All right, $16 million a year.
It's going down.
Today, the average gas price in America hit an all-time record high of over $4 per gallon. Okay, that stings, but a clean conscience is worth a buck or two. I'm willing to pay.
Yeah, that's assuming that, okay, the way to have a clean conscience is to support policies that cause way more Ukrainians to die and extend this war. But let's continue. Oh, and it's worth a buck or two. It ain't a buck or two, motherfucker. You fill your vehicle up one time if it holds 15 bucks. You just paid an extra 30 bucks. I mean, 15 gallons. You just paid an extra 30, 45 bucks, depending on how much this shit's gone up. And who can afford that? But let's continue. said the affluent crowd that can afford to go see Stephen Colbert in New York.
I'm willing to pay $4 a gallon. Hell, I'll pay $15 a gallon because I drive a Tesla.
And that's really kind of it, right? I mean,
he's willing to pay $15 a gallon, hey farmer, because he drives a Tesla, and he doesn't even realize I'm sure he and his riders, because of the leftist bubble they live in, they thought, oh, well, yeah, this will be a really funny thing, and it'll be a nice virtue signal about owning electric cars and blah, blah, blah. But when he says, I'm willing to pay 15 bucks because I own a Tesla, he's talking about he owns a $150,000 fucking electrical car, which you know he doesn't even drive much because there's no way that he doesn't, that whichever network it is that he's on doesn't provide him limo service back and forth to work, right? But right. Because he needs the protection. But to say, I'm okay with paying $15 more because I have a Tesla, I can afford a really nice electrical car, even though it doesn't work any better than other electrical cars, in so much as, you know, if you got to drive more than a couple of miles to work and back, it's completely useless, right? he's saying, I've got a Tesla, so I don't even have to pay the extra 15 bucks. But you yokels out there with your 20-year-old pickups that you have to drive to do your concrete business or whatever, or you yokels with your old El Camino who have to drive it back and forth to be convenience store employees who don't even make close to $15 an hour or whatever it may be, fuck you. You can pay the $15. I'm not paying it. I'm going to plug into the free Tesla charger here in New York City.
Yeah. And he, you know, this is like the Marie Antoinette thing. I always
let him eat
think
cake.
Back. I think it was like the 2015 when Hillary Clinton was talking about the state of the economy. And she said, you know, I know things are tough. You know, we're even struggling to pay our multiple mortgages or something like that. It's like, yeah, because that's what the average working class person is thinking about. Like, ah, I might have to sell my Palm Beach condo. You know, they can't afford the property tax.
Yeah.
So these people are completely out of touch, and they have no sympathy, no compassion, and no, they don't even know how to speak to us, which is why they have like these ridiculous moments with Joe Biden, like at an ice cream shop eating ice cream. Cause it's like, ah, yes, I put on my skin suit and I eat the ice cream, or what's her face? Pocahontas.
Is there
going to share a beer with my husband.
Photographer, is there some way while I'm getting the ice cream for the photo op, is there some adjustment you can do on the lens where people don't see the effect of the air parting around me because of the demon that possesses me?
The black halo around me is not very photogenic.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's the same thing, you know. You know, let me tell you something, Leftoids. You want to talk class warfare? I'll talk fucking class warfare. When some cocksucker like Leonardo DiCaprio tells us that we are bad because we don't care enough about the environment to buy a hybrid or an electric car or something like that from his mega yacht that uses 300 gallons of gas per hour, you know, fuck you. And this is what these people are.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, you know, what a horrible person I am, hate farmer. What a horrible person I am. I'm literally destroying the world, and I'm causing suffering all over the planet because
I just want to drive my old 1995 F-150 with a gasoline V8. Oh, God, a V8. Gasoline motor in it for what little trips I need to make and stuff. And I don't want to go to war in Ukraine. And I don't want to buy all my oil and gas from overseas. I want to see pipelines built here. I want to see America strong. I don't want to open up my borders to every third world savage and retard that can manage to get over here. And I don't want to give citizenship to every unit they're able to pump out once they cross the river with their feet still wet. Well, I'm the bad guy. I'm the guy who has to live with all this shit. And I'm not talking about, I mean, of course, some of the details there, me personally, but I'm not talking about, oh, poor me personally. I'm talking about me and you and Ace and every person in this chat and every average American across the country. We're the ones that have to deal with this shit. We're the ones having our cities destroyed. We're the ones having our country turned into some unrecognizable fucking thing that very likely by 2050 or 2060 won't even speak English. We're the ones who are having our cities turned into hellscapes where grown, tough, armed men fear to tread up the wrong parts of a downtown at night because whatever might just come out of the alley and attack them without them even being able to see it. We're the ones whose cities are more dangerous than Brazilian favelas now. But these fucking celebrities and these bankers and these politicians who have made literal billions of dollars doing insider trading, being the only people in the country who can legally do insider trading and getting bribed and stealing elections, they want to stand, they want to sit up on their fucking high horse and tell us how great they are and how wrong we are and how, oh, if you're not willing to risk nuclear war to keep a bunch of gay Jews in charge of oppressing the Ukrainian people and fucking with Russia because of X reason, you just don't understand that freedom's not free. All right. Either one of you guys want to say anything before I start the countdown to the break?
No, yeah, just my favorite point is that the city councilors who vote to defund the police all get private security hired on the taxpayer's dime. I mean, it's the ultimate example of being insulated from the consequences of their actions while being able to claim the moral high ground.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something about defunding the police thing, though. I'm for it, but under one condition. We completely defund them, and we defund all of them. All of them. Federal, state, everything. Let's go back to the time of vigilant committees and we'll straighten this fucking country out in 5 minutes. These police that they're just now starting to realize that these police that they defund serve them. People are all like, oh, it's a great thing that Biden got BTFO'd and now he's talking about he's going to have to refund the police. No, it ain't. When they refund these police, they're not going to set them on the fucking criminals. The criminals are still going to be released. And we're going to talk about this afterwards. Remember the Dunkin' Donuts thing where the black killed the 80-something-year-old man? And then he called me the N-word. Guess what? He just got sentenced to house arrest for murder. And you think that these police that they're going to pay are going to be policing these people? No, they're going to be policing us. They're going to be the political police, the same as the FBI. Or anything else. The gay American empire pays the piper and they call the fucking tune. And I know that this thing that I'm advocating is not going to happen. I'm not saying that it is. I'm saying that it should. America is a lot more peaceful place before we handed over the every right to enforce societal standards with force to these fucking gay ass police. All right. Sorry. That's two rants in a row. I shouldn't do that. I'll and you guys feel free to disagree with me if you want. You don't have to agree with me just because you're on the show, of course.
No, I agree with you. It's just that I know that that's not what's going to happen. I mean, if somehow they did defund the police, what they're going to do is they're going to have like they have in a lot of other countries. They'll have like a national police, you know, so you'll be just one more step removed from having any sort of influence or there being any accountability between the public and the police. It's going to be a federal police force.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to talk about an anarcho-tyranny. I mean, oh, Jesus yeah. Christ, once, if we had like
the... Once that happens, the next thing you know, black college professors will be rewriting the Constitution in tweets. Okay, let's do our countdown. We've got some super chats, and thank you so much, everybody, for that. Let's read them. Groypatious with $5 and an alien sticker. Thank you, Groypatious. APOC 813 with $5 says, what's up with all these homos doing gay shit and volunteering to fight for Ukraine? I can't wait to see the inevitable consequences when the Russians explain to them that gay shit is gay. Yeah, well, I'm wondering if, I think they should all be assigned to Azov battalion. I think you might see a bunch of friendly fire if that happened. As gay as the Azov battalion is, I don't think they want to fight alongside a bunch of transgenders. But who knows? Maybe they do. Aaron Calgary with $5 says, The Batman is an anti-white hate movie. Don't go. Well, I was never going to go to it. I've been looking. I advise that everybody not go see it either. I've heard... this isn't a criticism of Nick Fuentes or anything, but I was surprised to hear him saying how great it was and how cool Batman was. When they announced that they were making this new Batman, which you know it's going to be a Batman series, and that Robert Pattinson was going to be the Batman, I was like, oh, this is going to suck. This is going to suck in ways that I can't possibly imagine right now. And yeah, he's absolutely a twink. That's what he is. I had the opportunity to watch it free plenty of times because I had cable forever. I have never watched 1 second of a Twilight movie. All I've got to see is the poster or the thumbnail or whatever with Robert Pattinson on the front of it. And I'm like, yeah, this movie's gay. I don't watch gay porn, right? And and the other thing is, and I think I've said this on the show before, I don't watch action movies where the star of the movie, the action hero, is somebody that I know that I can kick their ass without breaking a sweat. And Robert Pattinson is one such person. Christian Bale, that might be rough. But Robert Pattinson, no. Now, Christian Bale, as far as all the Batman that have come along, Christian Bale is the absolute supreme Batman, in my opinion. Michael Keaton was good, but Michael Keaton, they were really making a comic book movie of it, right? The Christopher Nolan's Batman series, of course, was based on the comic book, but it was more of a science fiction thing, a science fiction action movie thing than it was a comic booky thing, right? I watched the original, the 1989 Batman, on the Russian website of Streaming Freedom the other night, and I don't know, the last time I saw it may have been when I went to the movie theater and saw it new, but I was really surprised. I'd forgotten what an entertaining movie it is, but it's a goofy comic book movie, right? And of course, Michael Keaton, if he doesn't have the suit on that makes him look like he has muscles and stuff, he's totally unimpressive as an action hero. But they hired it. I think what's his name? The director hired him because of the chin, the way his chin looked in the mask. But
They had also worked together on Beetlejuice.
Yeah, so yeah. Michael Keaton's a good actor. I mean, I'm not taking that away from him at all. But he just, you know, he doesn't impress me as an action hero or whatever. But Nolan really nailed it. In his casting on Batman, in all of it, all three of them, all the villains and everything, he totally nailed it. He needs to make some more decent movies. But anyway, but you know, I've talked about this before. I never could tolerate 2 minutes of a Steven Seagal movie because I know for a fact I can kick that guy's ass.
Yep. It's like a little flappy, his flappy hand fighting stance. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Okay, look, you know, I don't want to fight those guys. But Steven Seagal, I'd pay money. I'd pay money to fight him. But yeah, yeah. All right, so let's see, what's the next? Mail Monkey with the comet or meteor. I assume it's a comet because it's flying up and not down as a meteor would. The comet coin. Thank you, Mail Monkey. Reformed Ray. Oh, shoot. This is a hard-to-use little interface. Reformed Ray with $5 says, bedtime. I look forward to listening to the replay tomorrow at work. Well, joke's on you. I'm not going to post it. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. thank you, Hasador, for reposting the shows the way you do. Otherwise, I'd miss my favorite show. Much love to the Wrecking Crew and all of TKR family. Well, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And, yeah, I like to repost the show, even though we do show a little video. And honestly, I've been thinking, Hate Farmer, that I'm going to do less of this until we get to a point where, you know, somehow we're able to do more shows or we start doing the podcast again or whatever, to where we have shows that are the original podcast, then we have shows that are different, that are like streams. I'm going to try to minimize the amount of video and pictures that we use, because what we do, whatever anyone thinks of it, it's the thing I love. I like radio, and you know, I think it's a different art form for us to be describing things and talking about things and not being on screen and showing video clips and all this stuff. It does add to it in a certain way, but if you do radio right, it's just a thing I love, and it may be a sign of how old I am, but I don't think so. I think it's a medium that that is neglected and abused. If you turn on the radio and listen to talk radio nowadays, yeah, it's old and boomerish and stupid, but it's because there's no care taken in who's allowed to be on it, and there's really no talent in it. When Rush Limbaugh died, the last of the great radio guys was gone. And that's not me saying I agreed with everything Rush Limbaugh said, but boy, was that guy fucking good at what he did.
I don't think that's such a boomer take. I agree. Radio is a special form all of its own, and you know, without having to have visual aids up on the screen and just you know, having someone talk into your ears and being able to listen in on what people are telling you, describing to you.
Yeah,
I think that's valuable.
I think it activates your imagination in a different way than watching stuff.
Sure.
You know, just like reading does. Anyhow, Follow the White Rabbit with $1 says, do you buy it that Europe and the U.S. are united more than ever over this Ukraine conflict? No. No.
No. Hell no.
If Europe gave a fuck about us, they wouldn't be buying the Russian oil and gas now, would they? No, the only people who are united on this are, you know, one thing that if the price on it goes up, they're going to have to do some kind of price controls or subsidies or something, is hand lotion, because there's a whole lot of hand rubbers making their hands chapped and raw over everything that's going on right now. All right.
Yeah.
So,
and then one country is going to cut a deal with Russia, and they'll do better while the others suffer, and that'll cause more tensions, and you know, they'll turn on each other. Because all this like liberal gay neoliberal order is just so much pretense. You know,
yeah.
They still have interests. They still have, you know, national concerns that are independent of whatever their neighbors are doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, they'll turn on each other, and that's sort of the you asked about the meta situation, and that's one of the things that what Russia is doing is it's really putting the NATO alliance to the test. I'm sure everyone's. Knows what NATO is and what their obligations are, and they never really thought that they would actually be put to the test.
Yeah,
and you know, Poland seems like they're trying to step up, but the Germans, the Brits, especially the French, everybody else is just trying to pretend like this isn't happening.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I tell you what, we're butting right up on your 2 hours, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our break. And we're going to come back and we're going to see if one or two people want to call in. And that's going to be the end of the show. How about that? Sound good, Hate Farmer?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, you see there?
Yeah, I think that was a drop. Right.
Oh, shit.
All right.
Hello?
Yeah, you just dropped out for a second.
Yeah, it wasn't my internet. It was just Telegram. I was saying,
did hear what you said.
Since we're getting so close, we're just going to take a break. We're going to come back, take a couple of calls, and that'll be the end of tonight's show and all this other stuff we were going to talk about. We can talk about Friday. What do you think?
That works for me.
Okay, everybody, make sure that you're following Mods. Get ready to drop links. Make sure that you're following Official Crypto Report on Telegram. Official Crypto Report channel is the place where you keep up with all things TKR, and it's the interface you use to call in. Make sure that you are following Duxland. That's at Duxland on Odyssey and Duxland Uberalis channel on Telegram. That's Hate Farmers stuff, and he hasn't been doing much there lately, but when he does do stuff, it's great. So make sure you don't miss out. Follow that stuff. Follow Tony Castle's No Avatar, No Banner, No Description channel, because he says that soon he will do something with it, and hopefully that will include throwing tomatoes at F-words and so forth in VR, and also Sunday Bible study after church with Jesse Lee Peterson, as he used to do and everyone loves so much. Follow the Green Room on Odyssey and Telegram. That's Nordic Frost's awesome radio show that he does every Sunday night at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, 6 Pacific. All right. I guess that's everything. So we will take your calls right after this.
The Crypto Report will be right back.
She said, babe, you know I miss you and Joe and all my funky friends. But I screwed on stage, it was just enough to know what she really meant. And I got to thinking while she was talking that I know she told the story. I mean, a special place that she goes. I mean, she rides with the others in the subway singing.
Welcome back to the Crypto Report.
Yeah, welcome, 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 welcome. Yeah, Epoch, we need the duck butt sticker for this. I don't know if Hate Farmer's back or not. Are you back?
Yeah.
Oh, good, good. What do you think about the music tonight, Hate Farmer?
Well, I liked it. Yeah. I like me some synth Euro pop.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not that I wouldn't have chosen them anyway, but... on Wednesdays, I know that it's like a big effort for you because, you know, without going into detail, but you work all day and stuff and you've got kids at home and everything. And I appreciate it. So I always, or not always, but I sometimes try to pick stuff I think maybe you'll like. But I meant to say, talk about it at the beginning of the show, you know, that I played 99 Luftballons. And the reason that I picked the German one instead of the English version was, well, it's cool to start with, but I thought you'd enjoy hearing it in your mother tongue. but you know, that came out in like 81 or 82, something like that. I was 13 or 14 years old, and I remember, and of course the video they were playing on MTV was the English version, the 99 Red Balloons. But I remember seeing it and thinking, oh man, look at her. She's so cute. She's so hot and everything. And then shortly after, you know, it was making, and all the dudes thought that, you know, you'd see, you'd all pumped full of testosterone. You see this pretty, real pretty German girl on the screen singing and everything. And shortly after that, they, came out with a live version of it at some, I don't know, something like Pink Pop, you know, one of those huge Euro festivals. And the style back then with t-shirts was to cut the sleeves out, right? And she's up there and got her sleeves cut out of her t-shirt, and she raises her arms, and there's these giant bushes under each one. Like, oh! It's totally rude.
His girlfriend's pussy. Yeah. Sleeveless t-shirts. Hairy armpits.
Yeah, stupid hippie bitch. shave that thing, you know? I mean, if they don't... I don't care if they shave down there, but like if they don't trim down there and it's all bushy, you know, under the right circumstance, I can find that charming because of what the hair's growing on and the fact that I'm seeing it means that I'm about to have access to it. But but the armpits, man, that hair's got to go. Like, yeah, it just totally wrecked a puppy crush. All right.
I know what you mean. It's like when I found that Jennifer Connelly was Jewish. It's like,
no! Yeah, I know. That
generation of young boys' first loves crushed.
Yeah, yeah. Now, be honest, Hate Farmer. If, Rocketeer era Jennifer Connelly was willing to have a relationship with you, you'd put all your Nuremberg laws aside.
Yes.
Oh, all right. All right, let's see if anybody wants to call in. And if you need to go, Hey Farmer, just let us know. And
yeah. Yeah, I'm going to bounce.
Okay.
Also, I don't want to take calls from these filthy goyim.
Nah, I don't blame you. Well, nobody's got their hand up anyway, so I guess the show's over. No, there's a hand up. But before I take the call, everybody press HF to let Hate Farmer know you love him. No homo.
Aw. No homo, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
I will see you guys Friday night. Farmer.
Yep. Friday night, 9 Eastern. 6 Pacific. See you then. Oh, no, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. Oh, he's probably already gone, and I'm going to have to go and tell him I said it wrong. let's see. Reverend Chad Kroger says Nana was a dirty, hairy German whore. Yes, apparently. Okay, let's take Follow the White Rabbit's call. And if anybody else wants to call in, get your hands up. Here we go. Go ahead, Follow White Rabbit.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Yeah. Before you, I want to make this announcement to everybody because time is limited. Everybody who's calling in, make sure and get to the point of what your call is fast. And if I only talk to you for a minute or two and go to the next call, don't get upset because, like I said, I'm on a hard time thing too. But go ahead.
Well, I'm kind of beating a dead horse here with the gas thing only because I'm just really surprised how much it has dominated the conversations just day in, day out dealing with people. I didn't think the $4 was going to be like a major threshold, but where do you see critical mass here? I've heard, you know, Stephen Colbert say, you know, $2 or whatever. I already feel like we're already just from just talking to everyday people. It's already like at 70% here, just at $4. I forget to set up to $5. Is $5 or $6? Is that... Do you think that's critical mass for everybody, or
well, I think no so. Number? Based on history, it will be. I've said before how during the Carter administration, things got so bad that the media had an index. It was like a scientific index where they figured in inflation and gas prices and all this other stuff, and they called it the misery index. And the gas prices are the worst part because they're the thing that nobody can escape. You can't even escape it if you don't own a car because, A, to get from one place to another, if it's not a block or two away from you, you got to take some kind of transportation. You've got to use a bus or a train or an Uber or a Lyft or whatever, right? And that costs money, and those use gas, and their prices are going to go up. And for another, the price of everything goes up. But yeah, it's so visible to people because they get out in their car to, and they go to the store or they go to work or whatever it is, and they're like, holy fuck, look how much it went up overnight. And it scares people. It infuriates people. And the thing is, everybody, even the apologists like the blue checks on Twitter, they all know that this goes 100% back to Biden's energy policy. Even if we shut down all the Russian oil that we're buying, if we shut down all the oil on Earth that we're buying, if we were still operating under the policies of the Trump administration when it comes to domestic oil and gas production, you wouldn't see any significant effect at the pump.
And are we in the situation like the Carter administration where you just got to wait until election to boot them out in the most brutal way?
Well, most likely, because most of these people who are based, supposedly, that are running for office have already shown themselves to just be either psyops or straight-up shills or whatever. And even if they weren't, there aren't enough of them running to get something done like impeaching Biden and impeaching enough members of his cabinet and all like that to get anything done. And even if there were, they're not going to do it. You know, Mitch McConnell is still going to be running the Senate and Kevin McCarthy is still going to be running the House. And do you think those people are going to bring articles of impeachment against Joe Biden over anything? I mean, McCarthy claims he's gonna, but he's not. When he came on Tucker and Tucker was saying, why should we believe you? You know, everything you promise you don't do. He's like, no. You can totally trust us this time. If you elect us a Republican majority, we're going to impeach. They're not going to do shit. And even if they impeach him, it's going to be, you know, more paper tiger sham impeachments like they did to Trump. That's just a political thing. They're not going to remove him, you know? So, yeah, I mean, we basically have to wait for an election. Now, the thing is, we may not have to wait for the next presidential election. These people live by and die by the polls. And if the polls get so bad that they're like, there's no way we can print and fake ballots our way out of this, then they may change some of their policies to at least give us a temporary reprieve. But even if they do that, people aren't going to forget and people are going to understand. I mean, yeah, you know. The guy's correct. The government by the people, but the people are retarded. But they're not so retarded that they don't, you know, on things like this. When it comes to going to the store and going to the gas pump, people understand that shit. That's why, you know, one of the most important reasons that Bill Clinton won in 92 was that, I can't remember the guy's name. He became a conservative later. It was a pundit on Fox and everything, but he was Clinton's big political advisor. And he was the one who came up with the phrase, it's the economy, stupid. You know, no matter what you're talking about, it's the economy, stupid. The economy, because people may not understand how the economy works, so to speak, but they understand food prices and gas prices and the electric bill and that kind of thing. They totally get that shit. And you start fucking that stuff up real bad to the point that it's a struggle for a household that's got two people working in it to keep on the electricity and to keep gas in the car. And now they can't even go to the local theme park or the water slide or whatever for a vacation or do anything. You know, they have to turn off their expanded cable. You know, you're fucking up, and you're going to lose elections. And so, you know, the president, whoever he is, the president always has to worry about the effect that he's having on his party in these midterm elections. And in 1 4-year term, they got two of them. You know.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right about the math. That's all I hear now is math. More, I've listened, I've heard more math over this gas than from normal people my whole life. They're like, do you know I spend an extra $30 a week? That's an extra $120 a month. That's not pennies.
Yeah.
So.
Well, was there anything else you want to get in? I'm going to go to the next call. We got two more callers, and I want to get to them both before we end the show.
Nope. I'll listen to you, right, to see you guys Friday night.
Okay, well, it was a great question and everything. Friday night we'll spend more time on calls. James Furton, You had your hand up. Please raise your hand again if you still want to talk. It times you out after like 5 minutes. There he is. And then we'll take Groypacious after him. No slide on Groypacious, but we're taking people in order. What's up, James Burton?
Hey, how's it going?
Going well, going well.
So, have you heard about the...
Can you get closer to your microphone or your phone or whatever it is?
Have you heard about the new 6 million number? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, the new 6 million number. I'm not sure if I've heard about a new 6 million number.
No, it's 6 million have supposedly died of COVID, according to the BBC.
Oh, is that right?
Of course, they say today it just crossed 6 million.
What, planet-wide?
Yeah.
Well, that's nothing.
So it's a magic number now to them. Yeah. It's like, oh, 6 million, 6 million. So
right.
It's just this crazy hoax, of course. Yeah. But I don't know if the Jews will feel about, you know, the magic number, their special magic number being used.
Well, they may be the ones putting it out.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Well... isn't it amazing how they have so quickly transitioned from COVID to Ukraine too? I mean, and they've managed to do it at a time when all of a sudden there are several FOIAs and lawsuits that are causing stuff to come out that show how illegally and unethically, the government and these pharmaceutical companies have behaved. There was the Blaze network at blaze.tv or .com, whatever it is that Glenn Beck runs.
Right.
I can't remember if they did a FOIA or a lawsuit, but they just got a bunch of stuff released. I believe it was a FOIA that just shows straight up where the pharmaceutical companies were buying all these ads on every cable news network, and in return for paying big money for these ads, they got the networks to promote the vaccines as safe and effective.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in their news coverage, not in a commercial, but in their news coverage. And of course, you know, if you were here at the beginning of the show, you heard these doctors. There's been two big hearings on this in the last week, but I think this was at the Tennessee one. There was a Tennessee one, and I believe there was a Texas one. I haven't seen the Texas one yet. But they had those doctors explaining, you know, these Pfizer documents and Moderna documents that just came out. And you know, all this other stuff that they just forced the CDC to put out says, oh, yeah, we saved 10,000 people, but we killed 150,000. We killed 150,000 people to save 10,000 people. Okay, am I back? Hello.
Yeah, it seems we had a little dropout. Just give it a moment. Here we go.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
I'm back? Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you both.
Hello?
Okay, yeah, I'm back. I can hear you, James. Yeah, it's Telegram's doing something. My internet's not going in and out. It'll be unfortunate because we'll have to, we probably won't take calls for a little while because we'll have to think up another way to take calls, probably take them via Skype or something like that. But I'm going to have to go back to using the professional interface I was using because even when the internet's steady, this Telegram does this and it's just unprofessional. But anyway, so, the whole COVID thing is a mess and it's every bit as fake as the Holocaust, which means it's totally not real.
Yeah. So. Here in the Bay Area, there's still, you know, the mandates went away with the truckers, but there's still so many places just, oh, can't go in here if you're not vaxxed, the store policy, or no, you can't go in here without a mask, you know, store policy, we want to keep our customers, you know, feeling good or whatever the heck.
That's all it's ever been about.
Nonsense.
That's all it's ever been about. It's been about keeping the cattle from getting restless. Don't stampede the cattle, right?
When the mandates went away, I thought, oh, I can go places now, but apparently not.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, like I say, it just depends on where you're at because, like, even in Texas, I'm sure there's still places where you're required to wear masks. Like, you know, when I was up in the DFW area, There were a couple of shops that I went in that they had like huge signs outside saying, you know, don't even think about coming in here without a mask and all like this. And I would go in and I went into this one shop. It was a vape shop. And I went in there and I told this guy, yeah, I like this kind and this kind and this kind. And I was even going to buy a device from him, right? He was about to make like $150 off of me. And when I went to pay, and he had this like thick, clear vinyl sheets all around the counter where the register and everything was. And there was a little tiny hole where if he had to, he could reach through and mess with the card machine, right? And I saw there was a sign that said no cash. And I was like, well, I was going to pay cash. And he's like, I'm not taking cash. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, I'm not catching COVID taking cash from somebody. And I was like, dude. And I left. But that whole area, the whole DFW area, they were real strict on the masks. But if you drove right outside of DFW and went to a regular size, medium sized town or a small town or rural area or whatever, literally everyone except the very old and what few liberals that you had refused to wear the damn things, right? So, I feel sorry for you guys. Like, you're in the Bay Area and hate farmers in Seattle and all who have to deal with this and 9,000 other kinds of insanity every time you step out your front door. But, you know, it'd be like people don't think the West Coast be like it is, but it do.
It do for sure.
All right. Was there anything else you want to throw in there, James? I got two more callers, I believe.
And no.
I want to run through
that's
them.
That's it. Thank you, Adam.
All right. Thanks for calling in, James. And, hey, good to hear from you.
Yeah. Take care. Thanks.
All right. You too. All right. Groypacious does not have his hand up anymore. Well, it looks like he's not even in the chat. Well, if you're hearing me, Groypacious, and you want to call in, make sure and get your hand raised for you in the show, but I will take APOC813's call now. Go ahead, APOC813. Unmute yourself, sir.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Very nice to meet you.
Yeah, same here.
I had a question. Do you see a way back as far as, do you see like any kind of return to normality, even possible, like pre-COVID normality?
Well,
because I don't think we're going down that way.
It's impossible to say because, unfortunately, I'm not clairvoyant, right? the thing is, everything is possible. Now, as far as what are the odds, in the near future, the odds, to say that they're not good is like a Titanic understatement. But even if we get to the point where we're allowed to go to restaurants and stores and everything, this level of control that they have taken over every single little thing, they're not going to willingly give that up. Now, it may not take the form of wearing masks or having to have the jab to go to work or something like that, but it's going to take some other related form. Like they're working with big tech now. They're working with big tech right now to roll out the electronic vax passport. And and the thing is, like, there are certain rugged souls such as myself who resist. And don't get me wrong, I used to love them. I used to love them. The last time I bought a new cell phone, I bought the hottest, fastest new one I could get. When the Samsung S8 Plus came out, I bought that fucker. I paid the big money for it. Mm-hmm. And I loved all the stuff I could do with it. But after a while, not only just on stuff that I learned doing research, because I always knew that they were spying on you and all this, but because of, without going into detail, experiences that I had in my own life, I was like, okay, enough of this. And I chucked the phones and everything, right? And so I resist having a phone tied to my identity that I carry around with me everywhere all the time. And there are a lot of people out there who do the same. I mean, I know they're a tiny minority, but you add them all up and there's tons of them. And they're going to force everybody to have a phone. And it's not going to be a burner phone. You're going to have a contract phone, and the government's going to have access to know where everybody is all the time. And the excuse is going to be that you've got to have that passport on there and blah, 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 blah. And I'm not saying that's for sure going to happen. I'm saying this is, you know, one of my better guesses of what they're going to do.
No, that's what they want to do.
Yeah. And they're, you know, they have, depending on where you live, they have even come inside your house with the control over this stuff. You know, making indoor mask mandates and stuff. There are states that have, I don't know if the whole states have done it, but there are cities that have done this that have said that, that, you know, if you don't live alone, if you're not the only person inside your residence, if there's anybody else inside your residence, your wife, your kid, your friend, whatever, whether everybody agrees to not wear the mask or not, you got to wear that damn thing. And if they find out that you're not, you're in trouble, right? And
yeah,
and like the other thing is there's so much more stuff. I mean, you just watch every one of these weird narratives that they reprogram all the NPCs to support. You know, I support the current thing. Every new current thing, they come up with a new way to try to take control of something that provides people with a little bit of freedom or a little bit of separation from the global homoborg. And, you know, Elizabeth Warren was announcing.
Oh, where'd he go?
Can you hear me? Hello. Hello, yeah. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good, good.
I'm here.
Yeah, it skipped out for like half a second there on the Telegram.
That's okay. All right.
Elizabeth Warren had a press conference today, or yesterday, they were covering it today, where they're talking about, you know, okay, we're going after Russia, we're seizing all their bank assets and everything, and that's good, but it's leaving out a huge place where these oligarchs are hiding their wealth, and people who are illegally doing business with the Russians are doing it, and that is the cryptocurrency and these crypto wallets and all like this. And so you're going to have to get that under we're going to get that under control, and we're going to take charge of that too. And it, you know, if your wallet that you're using, if it deals with Russia and everything, blah blah blah, what they're telling you is, you know, okay, so I've got a particular wallet on my phone or on my laptop or whatever, and I've got Bitcoin and, you know, $9 worth of SHIB coin, which means I have like 40 million shares or whatever. And I mean, I don't know. It might be worth something. I don't know. It's just first thing that came to mind. But, you know, whatever coin that I've got on there that I've got either as an investment or as a way to be able to buy and sell if I get totally canceled from the banks and PayPal and all the other like that. I'm not saying me personally. I've already been canceled from everything. But I'm saying, you know, whoever, right? It's a good idea. To have, how do you know if your wallet allows Russians to use it? And of course, it most likely does, because it's a thing you download from the internet. How do you stop a fucking Russian from downloading a particular wallet, right? And they say, oh, well, if you're using a wallet and the Russians use it, we're going to seize that wallet and all the assets in it because you're colluding with Russia. You know, is the thing that's kind of going unsaid, but not really there. So, you know, they're wanting to take control of crypto, and there's just going to be a million other things that you know, you haven't even thought of yet. You know, they might, you know, APOC, we're sorry that we had to come to your house and steal the cash that's in your mattress and the gold coins.
Are you really?
And the gold coins.
You're not
That you had hidden in your closet. But the thing is, we have discovered, you know, we went after the Russian oligarchs through the banking system. And that wasn't enough, so we went through the Russian oligarchs with the crypto system, and then we found out they're still doing transactions in cash and precious metals, and so we're going to take this. Yeah, and then the next thing you know, 2 weeks later, they're knocking on your door, and they're like, yeah, sorry, APOC, but we found out that the Russian oligarchs are, now that we've taken the cash and the precious metals and jewels and everything, they're doing transactions through Stone Toss NFTs, and we found out you have a couple, so we've come here to right click and copy it. You know,
we have to stand in your living room to make sure the Russian oligarchs aren't here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's crazy, and they've always done this when they when they started the fake ass war on terror in, you know, after 9/11, they passed the Patriot Act, and the Patriot Act has been fucking us ever since. The Patriot Act put the deep state on steroids, and it gave them all kinds of unconstitutional powers. They've been spying on us. They've been using FISA warrants on who knows how many of us that they don't ever have to disclose, that are immune to Freedom of Information Act requests. And they even use that shit to spy on a sitting president, you know? So,
with impunity.
Yeah. I mean, going back to normal, that's a hard thing to say, because, you know, as a person who's 55 years old, when you say go back to normal, I mean, okay, what normal are you talking about? Are you talking about like 1978 normal? Are you talking about 1990 normal? Are you talking about 2000 normal? Because, you know, it's this big power creep. You know,
well, it's one of the things. It's one of the things that I talk about with my wife from time to time, and I know you're not supposed to talk politics with your woman, but you know what it is.
Well, you are. You're supposed to tell them what they think.
Oh, she's on board with a lot of stuff. Yeah. She's awesome. I love my wife.
Cool.
And you know, with this, that I have, especially okay. So with the COVID stuff, that was insane. I told people when it first started, we're watching a slow motion train wreck. And now with this war stuff, it's gone. I have not seen this level of propaganda and war stuff ever in my life. And, you know, I've been around a little while, not quite as long as you, but I've been around a little while. And, you know, I was telling her, I don't, you know, for the longest time I was saying, okay, so, you know, all this COVID stuff is happening and maybe we can see a way back to normal. I can't say that anymore with the war stuff.
Well,
I can't.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen. So we have to just kind of wait and see, you know what I mean? You know, like I said, if this were something that you could bet on some Las Vegas online gambling thing, it's like, will things go back to normal in the foreseeable future? I would put all my cash on no. you know, eventually every Leviathan collapses under its own weight. The problem is, you know, how long is that going to take? You know, when you look at the Soviet Union, it took what, nearly 80 years. So,
well, the average republic lasts about 250 years, and our time's about up.
Yeah. Well, no, the republic's been over. The republic's been over ever since it became an empire, and it's really hard to point at when that was.
Yeah.
But, you know, but like I was saying in the early half of the show, the first huge blow to a Republican form of government was the Civil War, the events leading up to it, and all the stuff that they did after it. But we still had a viable republic other than the fact that you couldn't leave it after that for a long time. And then, you know, other things happened. And to a large extent, these things were all due to the immigration of Jews in large number coming here. You know, the whole idea of the melting pot was a mm-hmm. Jewish idea that mm-hmm. was promoted by Israel Zangwill. And then then you had the 1913 Immigration Act. And the 1913 Federal Reserve 64. Act, or the Federal Reserve
1964
Act.
Hartzeller's
65 Hartzeller, yeah. But I didn't mean to say immigration. You had the 1913 Federal Reserve Act,
right?
And the 1913 Income Tax Act, and those wrecked things real hard and led, you know, inexorably to the Great Depression, and then you had the 1965 Hartzeller Act and all that. And they tried to pull that shit. And I believe it was 1924 was when we passed the really based Immigration Act. The first one that wasn't just about citizenship, but was about who could even set their foot on our soil. And it was a real simple one. And it said, the ethnic balance that we have in the United States right now will be maintained. You know, we're going to let people in here, you know, like if the balance drops 1% of whites, then nobody but whites gets in until it goes back to that, right? and almost right. nobody got in for the longest, and it was good that way. It's you know, it's one of the advantages I have being the age that I am, is I can tell people when. Okay, am I back?
Where'd you go?
Am I back? Am I back? Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
good,
you
good,
are.
Good.
Hello.
Yeah, it's Telegram, man. It just all of a sudden, it does that shit. It's not the internet, because the internet the internet cannot reset that fast. But anyway, the in the 1970s, there was about 200 million people in the United States, and now, according to the census, which is highly, in my opinion, undercounted, it's nearly 330 million. Now, in half a lifetime, the population of this giant nation has gone up by 1/3, and the quality of life has gone down by like 6,000,000%.
And, right.
And so, you know,
you have to get a Mexican passport to get into my old neighborhood.
Right,
it's horrible.
Right. But anyway, I mean, you know, we're getting a little off, or I'm getting a little off in the weeds with this, but you know, like I say, the question remains, what is normalcy and what does getting back to it entail? And, I think that We're going to have to fine tune our methods of what we do. And right now, the best thing that we've got going is, you know, content creators and political activists and that sort of thing, who are willing to try to understand that outreach is very important, and that we're going to have to build coalitions, and that, you know, that we've got to wait and see. We're not going to win this thing by having a bunch of bullshit conversations about ethnostates and balkanization and civil wars and all that other stuff. That we're going to have to, that we have to coldly and in a calculated manner, we have to assess what the current situation is, what is the here and now, and we have to work with what we've got. And, you know, I think that there is a rising white consciousness, and I think that it is in its infancy. And I think if the amplified stupid voices can be overridden by the voices of people who are willing to learn from past mistakes and are willing to craft their message and all that to appeal to more whites and more conservatives and that sort of thing, then I think we have a chance. But the thing is it doing okay? The thing is
yellow.
Okay. Let me know when I'm back.
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay. The thing is,
you're good. You're good.
Okay. The thing is, it's not going to be quick. We've got to be extremely high time preference with this. There's a chance that we may see some improvement, but that we're never going to see, you know, the Camelot that we hope for in the lifetime of anybody who's in this chant. But anyway, was there anything else, APOC? Because
no,
I'm just shutting down.
You know, I said earlier in the chat, I said I don't call in because I don't have anything useful to say. I just like hanging out and talking shit. But, you know, I was thinking about the question and the things that I was talking about my wife with earlier and about going back to normal. And I thought, you know, that'd be a good question for old Az. And, you know, I really enjoyed it and I appreciate the show. And I'm very glad that I found you again. And despite our religious differences,
we're both
I am a fan.
We're both Christians. That's all that matters.
Well,
don't go there with me.
If you're Baptist, you wouldn't say that.
Yeah. Well, we're going
anyway, man.
You might be interested this Friday night. I went and looked up the website of the old Baptist church that I went to, and it was way worse than I even could have imagined, and I'm going to talk about that Friday night.
They go downhill quite a bit. All right. Raised Baptist, too. I know how it was. Yeah. In the same area. I know. Yeah. I've been there.
Well, I mean, you know, there was a time in my youth when they were still based, and it's not anymore. It's god awful on every level. Yeah, yeah. All right. Have a great night, APOC. Thanks for calling.
You too. Thank you, sir.
Yep. All right. That's all the calls we're taking. Pretty good calls, huh, Ace? Well, I guess we lost Ace. All right. Let's see. We've got at least one super chat here. Your girlfriend says, I prefer Asmodor's immigration policy. Put a sign in the middle of the desert that says, fuck off, we're full, in the most common foreign language. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Fuck off, we're full, landmines and machine guns up ahead. So, yeah, that's a good one. Thank you for the super chat, your girlfriend. Let me click the chat thing here and make sure that I haven't, or the tips thing, and make sure I haven't missed any. And of course, it won't work. So back to the chat. Let me scroll up and see. Now it looks like I got them all. If I didn't get one, okay, I'm assuming I'm back. I'm assuming I'm back. Press 1 in the chat if I'm back, please. It looks like I got all the super chats, and I guess I'll wait for you guys to press 1. Okay, good, good. Bear Frost Seasons got in there and pressed 1. All right. So, mods, get ready to drop some links. I want to thank everybody for coming and joining us tonight. And I think it was a pretty good show tonight. I'm not going to say what. But Friday night, there's going to be some new features, maybe some new old features, and some things are going to be improved. Hey, there's the bad guy. The bad guy, my big ally on the Gabs. What's up, friend? So, yeah, the Friday night show should be a really, really good one. Either that or it'll be all fucked up because all the new stuff that I'm putting together will have settings all fucked up and I'll have to be live on air fixing them, in which case the Saturday show will be really awesome. I've already got a lot of stuff to talk about because I plan to talk about more things tonight. But like I said, we had to keep it a little shorter, even though I've gone over 2.5 hours. So you got a pretty good show out of it tonight. The replay will be up tonight. It will be in a friendly sized file for your downloading and streaming pleasure and, to not rape your data for those of you who are phone cucks. And we love you all. No homo. Oh, wait, Nice on Systems has a question. I'm going to answer it. Oh, I haven't even looked at Spurg chats. Let me see if there's any Spurg chats. Online Story says, Asmodor, you can post the show in advance on Odyssey. Some post it 24 hours in advance. Yeah, I've tried that, and I keep putting the time in that I want it to say the show starts, and it won't take the time. It'll always just go to the very next hour from when I'm posting it. I tried that the other night because I saw your comment about this. I didn't see it during the show. I saw it when I went back looking at the replay, posting the replay. I saw that you had made this comment. And I appreciate the input. And yeah, I know other people do it. But when I try to do it, I have certain problems with it. Maybe I'll try it again. Maybe Odyssey was just not working right that night. I only tried it the one night. I had to delete the whole live stream thing and do it again so it wouldn't be telling people that the show was starting like 4 hours earlier than it was supposed to start. But all right. Where was that? Oh yeah. Thanks everybody for joining us. Make sure you're following the official Crypto Report on channel on Telegram. Make sure you're following at Dutchland on Odyssey and the Dutchland Ubrawla's Telegram channel on Telegram. Make sure you're following Tony Castle's channel here on Odyssey. Make sure that you are following the Green Room on Odyssey and the Telegram channel, Nordic Frost's hard rock and heavy metal live streams. Nordic Frost is the greatest of DJs, and his show, The Green Room, happens here on Odyssey every Sunday night at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, 6 Pacific. So, everybody, thanks for joining us. We love you all. No homo. And I haven't even got my darned... I haven't even got my darn playout song yet. I'm going to start screaming, fuck it, fuck it. We'll do it live. oh, let me try to do this again. There it is. Okay, everybody, we love you all. No homo. Everybody, don't let all this stuff get you down. Stay positive. See the humor in things and enjoy the little things around you. It's a very important thing. Don't let this stuff drive you crazy. Don't like lose a front tooth and start screaming at your telephone at, from a bus stop or something. Nobody wants that. Okay. Good night, everybody. We'll see you Friday, if not sooner.
Turn out the lights. The party's over. They say that all good things must end. Call it a night. The party's over. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again. What a crazy, crazy party. Never seen so many people laughing, dancing. Look at you, you're having fun. But look at me, I'm almost crying. But that don't keep her love from dying. Misery, cause for me, the party's over. Turn out the lights. The party's over. They say that all good things must end. Call it a night. The party's over. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again. Once I had a love undying. I didn't keep it, wasn't trying. Life for me was just one party and then another. I broke her heart so many times. Had to have my party wine. Then one day she said, sweetheart, the party's over. Turn out the lights. The party's over. They say that all good things must end. Call it a night. The party's over, and tomorrow starts the same old thing again. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.